of thy kingdom come, and respect we offer to all, in times past and present. Travel on the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their ancient security. In this way, I am most deeply vowed to chain myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tapiampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tapiampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tapiampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without itself, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita kirtaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the content of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
with this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again and again and again so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
A reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning? Scott.
On Thursday group, I spoke about this content, which was letting my family know that I would be continuing to live at the monastery, and then just watching ego go nuts around really projecting a lot of that I'm going to be rejected for that, which is just sent off a ton of conversation in the head.
So you brought up particular content on Thursday night about letting your family know you're going to stay at the monastery. So was it after that ego just, I mean, it sounds like you have been kicking in all along, but after that, it just ramped up.
Sort of like took some things that my brother said, and then I think it made up some things because my parents are waiting for a letter. They don't know. And it's so then the conversation's just been this constant, like, explaining myself, justifying, you know, being here, this angle, that angle. And what was really amazing about saying that out loud in group was, well, afterwards, right afterwards, it tried to get me into, why did you put that out
there? Why did you just stay in conversation with me?
Exactly.
You know, why did you put that out in group?
Yeah. Why do you have to give all those details? You know, that kind of thing. And I felt that edge to engage with that, and then just the mentor came in and go, oh, ego hates that you said that at group.
Wow.
And it was just like that, you know, that training that we're doing every day. I just got to watch the movement.
As you say that, and you do that, you're doing this movement with your hand. It reminds me of that IQ move.
Yeah.
The mentor just came in and was there for that IQ move.
Yeah.
Just blowing what the conversation that ego was having, just stopping it.
I just saw a little mini while you were saying that, the focus of our attention in terms of quality of our life. So even retelling there's been all this conversation and I'm defending myself, I could feel the heaviness. And then as soon as I put my attention on the keto move and the mentor perspective, I could feel the energy ramp up.
Wow. So even though the conversation was completely not real, you could feel the effects on your body. And conversely, feel the effect on your body of having an authentic conversation with a mentor.
Yeah, I mean, right now in group, even just directing the attention. from each thing. And so so then the next day, I hadn't made any connections, and who knows, I mean, maybe it's all made up anyway, but I felt great the next day. Mm-hmm. I felt like open and energetic, and I went to go shopping, which I hadn't been in a while, and so saw some folks that work there that I, you know, seen lots of times. And the shopper that I often see, or the checker that I often see, was like, you look great. You look like bright and open. And, you know, I didn't know if she knows about the idea of projection, but it was true. I did feel bright and open. And it was sort of funny. She goes, it's like your wedding day or something like that. And I was like, that's interesting. It's like, oh, I don't even have to get married. I can just, this is apparently how you feel or look on your wedding day. And the whole day was like that. So I checked in. It was like, I am feeling bright and open. And I was moving through, like, things that usually get shelved in the procrastination self-hate file. Just plowing through them, like, mm-hmm. one after another. Mm-hmm. And so what I was seeing about the whole thing was just what Sherry, of course, says over and over again is you have to get out of the conversation. And it seemed like I had been recording about it, but something about saying it out in group, mm-hmm. which is probably why I'm doing it again, because it's been ramping up again. Being willing to just say what it says not to do. Mm-hmm. Don't tell other people. Don't get out of the conversation with me. Say it, making it very real, saying it out loud to Sangha, seemed to free me from that conversation for pretty much the entire day.
Wow. Yes, I'm reminded of that quote that we read sometimes in an awareness practice document, that coming out of that secret, shameful uh-huh. conversation uh-huh. with ego,
yeah.
and you're just having that experience of what that the necessity of that,
yeah.
you might say, of
yeah.
bringing it to group and saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. And,
It did add a something, because I had been using a mantra, I had been recording about it, and maybe that kind of made it available to say a group, mm-hmm. you know, but just, I guess it's a process, mm-hmm. you know, when you say end the conversation, get out of the conversation, that's a process. Uh-huh. You know, there's lots of ways that we use to do that.
Uh-huh. Point.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, there's lots of ways to end the conversation. Mm-hmm. And as you say, bringing it up in group is one of those ways to just.
Yeah. And just keep doing it. It's like dropping the conversation and dropping the conversation, which is what I got to see. It's had this amazing day and seeing what's available to the human being when the attention's not on a conversation. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, there's willingness, there's energy, there's attention for what I would like to do. And so that was good to feel that and be reminded. That's actually what we are.
Right.
When we're not giving our energy over to ego.
To have that energy for the human.
Yeah.
And to just really experience
yeah.
that brightness and that openness and, you know, being able to just take on projects that had been procrastinated
yeah.
about and just, like, just be available to
yeah.
have all that life energy for Scott.
Yeah. And for life. Because, you know, what reminded me, because I was doing projects that were related to programs and things like that that other people benefit from,
okay.
it was like, wow, this is such a benefit to all.
Yeah.
You know, I get out of the conversation, I get to have the energy, and I get to participate and contribute to things that other people may benefit from.
Right, what a great point.
I don't know, it was just so great to see. And then, so then the next day, just watching, waking up like, darn it, I'm in that conversation again. You know, like, I'm in that little defensive place. Oh, there's an imaginary mom and an imaginary Scott talking back and forth. Darn it again, you know. But there was a little bit more lightness to it. Like, you know, like, got me again, you know. I'm watching this time, you know.
Yeah, but there was somebody there that saw the imaginary
yeah.
mom and the imaginary Scott.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, and it just reminds me as I'm talking again and being reflective that there's just nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just the process of waking up and ending suffering. It's the process of ending that, for me, the most intimate relationship I've had, which is with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And being in relationship to what we are.
Just seeing there's nothing wrong in that whole process of ending that relationship with what, up until this point, you've known as the most intimate relationship you've had with,
mm-hmm.
with egocentric karmic conditioning. And just seeing it as a process, and that information as you go along.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's just so incredibly important to be in with Sangha because, you know, I can say things like this and folks nod their head and they know what I'm talking about. And it's like, you know, they offer the feedback, they offer the reflection, they offer the support, like, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And where else could you go and talk about ending this relationship? And I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing to have a place to do that. You know, that gets it, that supports you, that cheers you on in a way that really shows you you're completely adequate to doing this.
And would you say that not only is it a gift to all when you're in that place of freedom, energy, and, you know, feeling that presence and that you can see how it benefits all of life, that it also benefits all of life when that whole process is talked about in group and people, that offer a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I heard, what I saw when you said is just, ego might say, oh, when you're really lit up and out of the conversation, then you're doing good and you're a gift. Otherwise,
keep your mouth shut. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So as opposed to any time we're engaging in that process of life, at any point in the process, is a contribution.
To hear that, here's what's happening.
Here's what's going on.
And here's what how I'm being with that.
Yeah.
Here's what's, you know, what I'm seeing about that.
Yeah. Here's what I'm seeing about that, and I'm open to whatever else life may drop in through the group or through the facilitation.
Yeah.
And thanks for that.
Thank you. June.
That's good. I just realized I am hearing what was just mentioned. And I don't know the words. I can't remember what exactly the words were. But it's fighting for me. You know, it's trying to get me. I've been meditating more lately.
Mm-hmm.
And the app escaped its little... And I realized that what I've been hearing that almost stopped me today from saying anything is you should be husband. What is wrong with you? Not your old stuff. It's boring, very heavy. And so
you're seeing that the salt has really kicked up.
The salt is kicked up. And this impulse to talk about some of the content. I'm not sure, let's see. I don't know. I'm a little lost here. That's pretty clear.
A little lost in the way of what
oh,
you're saying.
Oh, I'm trying to say the right thing.
I'm
trying to say the thing.
I'm just wondering if it's having a little conversation with you.
That's exactly what's happening. My days I've been working on our books doing some. A lot of our books from years ago that were created years ago, we no longer have files for, electronic files for.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been recreating books. I've been running into technical problems like you will not believe.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting
and they've been getting solved.
And what was
they've been getting solved.
The technical problems have been getting solved.
And just... it just arises what to do. which ego hates. That I don't have to sit on hold with someone who's ultimately not going to be able to solve the problem.
That's big.
Yeah.
So you're in the middle of this really big project, and again, talk about being a service to all, to capture these books and get them on electronic file, and having a few technical difficulties, and finding that life is there to provide information about solving those technical problems. And ego hates that. Would rather have you on hold for a long time talking to some kind of support person and feeling frustrated. And
well, it must. I mean, it would be silly for it to really say that it hates that. I don't know. My brain is so scrambled.
Now that may be a good place.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just grabbing the attention as much as it can. One of my cats didn't come home. She's done this before. And I'm just praying that when I get back home, she's going to saunter to her little cat and I'm back to the house. And my first reaction is going to be relief, and my second is just going to be fury. But the attention just wants to go to horror stories and then when I get involved with the computer, I forget about the cat. And then I get up and I remember, and that's wrong. Look, you don't care about that cat. Over and over, just anything.
Wow. So if you get present and you're really there with what you're doing, then you're made up for, you know, that you should have not been there present doing what you're doing. You should have been, engaged in this other story. Is there anything that you found in this time that's supportive?
Well, coming here,
mm-hmm.
Directing attention, just the practices, working on the books, I have to read them. The fear book is a fabulous book.
Again, I just have to say, life is so kind and wise. Here is this, major assault going on, and here is this opportunity to be working with these books, which has, as you say, your book is a fabulous book, and to have all this information in front of you.
I'm working on your book and writing practices, what you have simultaneously. Which is an interesting experience. The meditation, it convinced me that I was having trouble just staying with the breath, a lot of trouble stretching around, thinking about a cat, blah, 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 blah. Boy, you are really bogged down in the illusion of separation, aren't you?
Oh,
God. You're just really, although it was an otherwise, boy, I am just really identified.
And you say that, it's so easy to see, like, this system that's just there at the being, at the human. Yeah. How cruel.
It is cruel. It is true that the attention of heaven, that I'm not being able to stay real present right now. And I guess that's a really good time to get beaten really badly.
Present enough to realize that you're not being present.
But as I started up saying, I can only guess that it's probably tied to meditating more.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can say that your practice is really ramped up with the meditation, and I suspect also the immersion in the teachings that are in the books. And so it is just kicking up a huge assault.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, just coming, being here in group this morning is like a tremendous support. And then just talking about what's going on, as was pointed to earlier.
And you know, kind of in that way, everything teaches us.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the first time. It won't be the last. I'm grateful at this point for the times that it's happened before, because it's not a big shock. Mm-hmm. It's not a big, oh my God, what am I going to do? What has happened? What has gone wrong?
Yeah. Everything teaches us, and I'm thankful for the past experiences of the same sort of, same assault, but that's what it is. Because you now know that this is something that happens, it changes.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Jen? So it's interesting. You know, I don't know if there's anything to it, right? The whole Mercury retrograde thing. But I did find out that it is.
It is. Okay.
And the reason I think, so, you know, for the benefit of the recording, let's say if people don't know this, I guess my understanding of it is that when Mercury is retrograde, that it's just, first of all kinds of technological things tend to not go well. But I've also heard that it's a time when old karma cycles back through to be looked at again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things, who knows, right? Whether that's actually true or not. But what I just think is interesting about it is that it points at not taking it personally.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes, that whole thing with Mercury retrograde. Who knows if it's true or not? But it does point to not taking things personally.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, there's a lot of debris in my yard because it was windy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't, whatever.
That's right? A great point, yeah.
But somehow, when what's going on in my head is going on in my head, it's my fault.
Exactly.
I've done something.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, boy, I just, with both conversations this morning, it's one of those, huh, I wonder if there's just something in the universe going on. Because that level of pulling the attention,
mm-hmm.
is just so strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that, I'm projecting that maybe that's an experience that you've been having too, that just that really seeing that they can increase pulling of the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? But it seems that a number of folks are experiencing that this morning.
Yeah.
And so how can you take it personally?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny too, you know, what it's been for me lately is, it's funny, it's like an illusion of control would be one way to look at it, but it's kind of, I think probably an Enneatype 1 thing of like, this vision of how things really, it's not even framed as should be, it's like could be, you know, like
mm-hmm.
and documented and finished and
mm-hmm.
all of these things. And I think the torture place is I don't mind doing any of them. I enjoy all of it, but I can't get to all of it.
Uh-huh.
So that's like, gosh, completely can picture how such and such could be documented,
mm-hmm.
where in the world am I going to find the time to do that? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and that breaks, and someone needs this. And,
yeah.
And so for me, it's that's the spinning, the mental spinning of kind of how it could be, but it isn't
that way. How could it be, but it isn't that way? Mm-hmm. It's a really clear vision. And as you said, you know, it's like there's all kinds of things happening that we cannot take personally. And, you know,
but they shouldn't be happening.
They should be happening because I have this clear image of how things could be. And if I could just,
Actually, as you say that, I saw it so clearly yesterday. So often on Saturday, we get to be outside and work. Mm-hmm. And, there were some projects laid out that were just, there was a lot of it to do, but just simple and straightforward and didn't require any mental energy and, very physical and, so fun, right? And it didn't really go that way. Because of all of those things that come up that shouldn't come up, in ego's version. And so then it turns into little bits of time where I get to be outside physically doing, and then all the other time is there's this and there's this and there's this. And I just watched how it truly is any time there's an idea of how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right? Because...
Right.
Otherwise, if there's no opinion on what constitutes, what's important or how it should be or anything, then what difference does it make?
Exactly.
What's called of me in this moment and that moment and today and tomorrow, and what difference does it make?
And would you say that even not having that image of how things could be, and it's like taking us out of the moment into the future when those things are completely done.
Exactly.
So that we have so much dissatisfaction when life presents other options.
Yeah, exactly.
To be attended to.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, the thing I could relate to, at least that I was hearing in the conversation so far, is just that place of, it's like constantly strategizing. Mm-hmm. Constantly strategizing. So, okay, this morning, it was like, I know. I'll stop keeping a to-do list. And I'll just, whatever's the most important thing, like what happened, on Friday, was this thing that forever has needed to be documented. It just suddenly, it needs to get documented right now because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And so we set everything aside and we did it. And there it was. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
After months and months and months and months and months of being needing to be done, right? So I was like, I'll just stop keeping a to-do list. And whatever life puts in front of us, we'll do. And there's a way in which, great, great. But it still comes from that place of, so that I want to feel this way.
Exactly.
So that now I can feel on top of it. Because I have this new strategy.
I would just say it still comes from that place of trying to get it right. Now here's
now
the new
for the program.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to be able to feel okay and relax and let go. Instead of course, going straight to the process. Which is what I think, the other thing that's being talked about this morning is just that place of we have to have the willingness and the courage to cut straight to the process.
Wow, that's such a good, we have to have the willingness and courage to cut straight to the process. It's content is so irrelevant.
So irrelevant.
And what is the process? What is the life process?
Mm-hmm.
That,
I was really, I don't know what context, I think it was someone asking Sherry about meditation recently, and hearing her say again, just that place of, I'll just put it in my words, it can feel like, it doesn't really matter, I'm just thinking about this one thing, let me just think about that for a second, okay, but it matters. And not in the sense of, I've been playing with it lately, it truly is life and death to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But not making that grim and making it into a contest and making it serious, but bringing a lightness to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so be willing to keep coming back over and over
mm-hmm.
with a good attitude.
Yeah.
You know, with a good attitude.
Yeah.
That welcome back or whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the attention on being here.
Yeah.
And so when we're not here, okay, well, it doesn't matter until we find out we're not, right? And of course, and as soon as we realize we're not, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the attention can still be on being here. And none of the attention on, you know, that conversation that I think we can all relate to is, oh my God, again?
Again.
And how
should
long?
Be if I hadn't been so long, I should be able to,
mm-hmm.
you know, I should be able to stay here 24/7 without any,
right.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
To just see the life and death nature of it. And yeah, boy, this is the, I don't know if you'd say the razor's edge, but it's life and death. And yet, it's not serious.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's
not grim.
It's not
on
grim.
It's not,
yeah.
Yeah. You've got, you know, it's, yeah. Yeah, it's that place of we're not dilly-dallying, but we're not getting anywhere either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not so, got to get this right, so serious, you know, from now on, I'm never going to get,
right.
you know.
Because that's just another program.
Another thing, and, you know, so just how to, wow, yeah, how to live in that,
mm-hmm.
the present,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it's so important that it's, there's no, in a way that there's just no wiggle room. Like
mm-hmm.
you were saying, we can't be like, oh, well, I'll just indulge this for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
Right.
When in fact it is. It's
yeah.
training.
Yeah.
It's training to be in that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, periodically things will go around on the internet or whatever. You'll see really inspiring things where someone is going up against huge odds or, you know, they persevered or, you know, you look at your heroes, you know, and just that place of like, oh, yes, you know, being called to
mm-hmm.
something. And I was seeing recently that really that practice of coming back to the present and staying
mm-hmm.
is that.
Wow.
It actually is that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, one of the big bamboozles is you know, we get lost in the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So, I remember someone talking about watching a movie, like especially something like that, like a movie about someone overcoming huge odds and, you know, whatever it is. And just that place of inspiration at the end of the movie, there's that sense of like, wow, you know, it's amazing and I feel called to whatever. But the movie was 2 hours long, right? What you don't see is the hours and days and weeks and months of slogging through the mundane that happens for everyone. For everyone. And I've really been practicing with that the heroic place is coming back when it feels like it doesn't matter, it's no big deal, what is this doing anyway? That really is the heroic place.
Yeah.
In that mundane.
Yeah.
Oh. In those moments of mundane to
mm-hmm.
just bring the attention back.
Bring the attention back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that feels like that is an amazing heroic
correct.
That
is the hero's journey.
Yeah.
To come back over and over and
mm-hmm.
over again
mm-hmm.
in the details of daily life.
Mm-hmm.
To just come back here and come back here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, those folks we admire so much, we can be sure.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
you know,
they face it down.
They face
had
it
to
down.
Have it to us.
Yeah. Yeah, no one, as far as I know,
mm-hmm.
no one just gets handed the, you know,
right.
comes here from birth and goes, okay, this
yeah.
is it, smooth sailing.
Yeah.
You know, free ticket.
Yeah.
And it's got practice over and over.
You know, it's in the airport in Johannesburg of all places, this little thing that said something like the elevator to success is broken, please take the stairs. You know, there are no shortcuts for anyone.
Elevator to success is broken, please take the stairs. Boy, that comes to this one step at a time.
Yeah,
good.
I've been seeing something I think it relates to the conversations we're having here. This past period of being looking at the bamboozle about feeling bad, and the one assignment was to map it out in detail and everything, and I was finding myself not able to do it because it didn't seem like it was happening.
So not feeling bad wasn't happening?
Yeah, I didn't hear any, you know, invitation to feel bad in particular. And it really struck me when I realized that because that's been kind of one of the favorite bamboozles, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I started sort of looking, well, what's different? Why wouldn't that hook be active right now? And I think what I kind of got to is that I'm feeling more of an attitude of interest and curiosity about what's going on and how things are happening, as opposed to applying standards and the expectations of how this being should be operating. I think the standards come from an underlying belief of there is a right and a wrong, and you know, it makes life really tense because you got to pick the right. And but with more of an attitude of just kind of a curiosity. Mm-hmm. It seems to bring a whole different relationship to the process of life, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
from what you're describing, there's no room for feeling bad, and that is everything is just an opportunity to learn, to look at, to see, you know, something new, to be curious about, inquiry, then, you know, what's to feel bad?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that that there's just this completely laissez-faire, you know. There's a way to look at something with curiosity and come away with an understanding that I wasn't particularly skillful in that and what was going on there but with an interest and curiosity, it's not like you get scolded, beaten up, and all of that. And so that's what I've been kind of looking at. And I'm wondering if part of it is that for a lot of months now, my body has been full of pain in different places. And I just don't have the same kind of ability to beat myself up, you know, and to feel beaten up and to feel like I need to strive for this and that and the other thing, you know. It just doesn't seem, and I don't know if that's part of it or if it's just whatever, but there feels like some sort of loosening of that system, that structure that wants to.
So you're noticing that there's been an unusual amount of pain going on in the body, more pain, and that you're also noticing a loosening of that structure that was built around self-hate. Around feeling bad.
Well, that's all part of it.
You're not sure whether they're connected, but I think I heard you say that there's just less. I don't think you used the word energy, but there's just less availability to to nurture
less,
that.
Less willingness to go there.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been just sense of pain, because I've been noticing that over a period of time, I don't have an opportunity to facilitate really often, but it used to be I would facilitate and then I would leave the group, and then there would just be these voices about, oh, you know, why did you say that? You might have hurt somebody's feelings, or, you know, all that kind of reviewing that ends up with somebody feeling bad. And that has not been going on for quite a while. And I don't even actually know when it started. It wasn't like a, I mean, I know we practice no reviews, but I don't know when it actually took hold. So, I mean, I just find that that doesn't happen anymore. I just drive out of here and go to the next thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'll listen to this recording and you know, note certain things and stuff like that. But it's not that.
So that's another area you've noticed that, that not feeling bad, slipping away. It's in the facilitation and noticing that, where previously there would be a conversation about, oh, why did you say that? You might have heard somebody's feeling, but that's just not happening at all. And you said that you could listen to the recording of the facilitation. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You noticed that there's no...
It's not with that kind of...
Not with a conversation.
With that kind of attitude of, well, you know, where did you screw up, and what do we have to do to get you to stop doing that, or whatever. It's more with that interest and curiosity about it.
Yeah, and as you were saying earlier, that's not like coming with a laissez-faire attitude about your actions.
Yeah.
That you're seeing that that there's also an openness for, I don't know if you said, for insights to come in, or, you know.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. And kind of like an openness for the person to learn or to, you know, because I remember that I really didn't ever feel like there was an encouragement to learn and to be interested and curious. It was more like, what grade did you get? What did you get on that last test? You know, it was all the outcome sort of orientation, and then the judgment, whether that was good enough. You know, you got a B, well, I'm sure you could get an A, that kind of thing. And so this interest and curiosity is like, wow, that's kind of where you learn. That's where you get interested and get passionate about things. But if you have to do it a certain way and meet a certain standard, it's like, it's completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah.
You have to try and meet that standard. And so you're experiencing increased joy in learning.
Yes, that's really it. And feeling that it's really a kind thing for the human to have that opportunity to just kind of explore something that she gets interested in without any particular, you know, reason for it, or you know, just the interest, or just to sit and just get, you know, captured by a hummingbird that's right outside the window, and you just, that, you know, there's just a drop what you're doing, and just be there with that hummingbird or flower or whatever, you know.
What was just spoke to earlier, just being there in that presence, and without a goal, or, you know, where this learning is going to lead to something in particular, but just for the joy of being present to what's there and having curiosity.
Yeah, and that actually feels like living a life, you know. I mean, we don't come here with some kind of a job description or a, you know, something that we have to You know, it's more like, can we be here and enjoy life and love ourselves and love people and love animals and critters and...
Yeah. I mean, the image, of course, arises of a little kid, a little small child, and we see that reflected in the way they interact with everything.
It's all exciting and fun.
They have no agenda for, oh, this is going to get me a PhD in,
Thank you. It's just been fun hearing all the conversations. It just feels so relevant to what I was looking at all the week before I came, about the content is irrelevant and, conversations with ego and all, and the upping practice, because now I feel like I just suddenly upped my practice. Friday at home we had a house guest that was joining us, who I'd never met before, young, like in her 30s person, and we were waiting for another house guest that's been staying there for a while to arrive home, and so I was just sitting there chatting with her, and she turned to me. She knew I was coming to the monastery. I think she had a conversation with someone else about that. And so she just turned and she just like, so, and she just wanted to know all about it. and I said, well. And she even said, I'd like to do that. You know, like she doesn't know anything about this practice. That, you know, like she doesn't know where this is or anything. And I said, I think you'd really like it because you're like a world traveler and you love adventure. And I think you'd really like it there because that's to me what it's like here. So today feels like I just landed in a foreign country, even though it's my spiritual home, and but there's just that little acceptance that I'm going to be here for a while. Conditioning kind of follow me around, like ready to pounce, I can tell. And then there was that, this is all going to tie together. There was that, in my mind, it ties together. There was a beautiful peace quote that came out, I think, last week. It was real long. Talked about, meditate, do what you will with meditation, now I'm not going to do justice to that, but it talked about how it's to just be aware in everything you do when you're not meditating, like just everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, every person you talk to, every action you take, that's my interpretation of it, and I just... So that's been comforting because I think, okay, that's all I need to do now that I'm here. I just have to just be aware because there's nothing else to do. I've got all the sensations of, like I've landed in a foreign country. I've got all that. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing to do about that. Nothing wrong with that. So just allowing that and then putting some kind structures into place because it's always so interesting to get here and then the next day is holy leisure.
Yeah.
so there's a little bit of like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? Because I'm I just came from such a busy trying to get everything, and what am I going to do? So, so I already, I created a schedule, you know, from like 7 o'clock to 10. That's as far as I could see. And then I know from 10 to 12 or 12:30 where, you know, there's a schedule.
You have a schedule.
And then when I was sitting in meditation, you know, I said, well, maybe I'll go to the creek today. You know, like I haven't done that in years, I don't think, and maybe I'll do that. And that it's just all of it, it's just okay. It's just, it's just part of the writing and the,
it's part of the writing
of the adventure, you know.
It's just part of the adventure.
Yeah.
And it's all okay. And, as you were saying earlier, that beautiful peace quote.
Yeah, I love that
piece. Just all that's required, if there's a requirement, and the invitation is just to be aware in each thing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's that feeling like you're in a foreign land and all the sensations with that and all that experience around that, or whether it's, you know, creating a kind schedule for the day for someone that's feeling a little like, wow, everything was so busy, and now suddenly here's holy leisure.
Yeah.
You know, to just bring awareness to all of that.
Yeah. And that's just what I heard in every single, you know, somehow you just, maybe that's because that's what I needed to hear. But it's just, in everything, it's just that, to just bring attention back and just be here. And it doesn't matter if conditioning is telling me, well, you're not really there yet. You know, that's what I hear. You're not really in the body, and you're not, you know.
Yeah. It knows about you in the body, but it's telling you you're not really in the body, and you're not really there.
Yeah. And to just, you know, just go about the day, and to just come back, just like in meditation, really, because about all I've got right now, you know, in terms of something, what to do about it, you know, just let it be and just keep bringing attention back. And I can have a cup of tea anytime I want, you know, and I can just keep doing those really comforting things, and it's gorgeous out there, and and it's just all okay, really.
It's really all okay.
Yeah.
To just keep coming back over and over and over again.
Maybe even it just occurs to me, throw in another meditation, you know. And I mean, really, I could, I mean, that's what I'm here for. I'm just here to practice. So I could just fill the day with, you know, of just practice, and practice being in nature, practice being with a cup of tea. Come back, you know, have a meditation. Just, anyway.
So, here at the monastery, it's practice.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the person arrived with that commitment. And so, seeing that this is a practice day. Practice, you know, bringing practice to a cup of tea, bringing, you know, having more periods of meditation, taking a walk, all of it, just all of it, bringing it into practice.
Yeah. And what's just so strange is that, or it was all the preparation to get here, and there's no, you know, and there, I have to say, when I was at home, I was, there were a few times that, you know, that in, there were a few times I thought, now why am I doing this? and then I would drop in, oh yeah, because this is what the heart wants, you know, and I would even get a glimmer of how I feel here in this environment. And I know why I've come. I know exactly why I'm here. And but there's just so much out there that it's like when that, you know, it's the, when you stop doing everything else, and then I'm actually right here. and there's no real preparation for that. There's no preparation to just be here. It's just now I'm here. And so I just have to go through whatever that means, whatever that is to this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just the heart was just having glimmers of what the heart was called. The heart knows that it wants to be here, and having glimmers of your experience here.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, there's just I didn't even say this, but it's so much pulling at our attention out there, you know, just all that getting prepared and everything, and then
yeah,
here, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that is no longer happening, and
yeah,
and this is the practice that the heart was called to.
So that would be a good thing to go on my recorder to say more to that too.
Yeah.
You know, and just yeah. So anyway, it's gonna be a good day. It's already a good day, so
yeah.
Yeah.
So using the recorder, spending the day with company as a mentor and you know, practice and just practicing.
In my favorite place.
In your favorite place on a beautiful day.
Yeah.
With all the tea.
Yeah.
Available.
Yeah.
And the butterflies,
hummingbirds, and just flowers everywhere.
Yeah.
Just perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
A couple of minutes. Anything? Anybody has a visual? Thank you.